Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
The title of today's message is called God's Final Word. God's Final Word. Amen? All right, listen, I want us to read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, out loud and together. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right, we want it to be out loud and together. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right, we want to read it somewhat slowly, but we want it to be nice and loud that we feel the atmosphere at the Word of God. All right, here we go. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Let's read this out loud and together. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Listen, these three verses are packed with truth, revelation, and hope. Last week, we looked at how God spoke to us in various ways. You know, and you can go back and listen to some of these messages, but God spoke to us through the prophets, and there's like 36 prophets. You know, God spoke to us through angels. He speaks to us through creation, but he also spoke to us audibly. Remember? We looked at areas where God even spoke when Jesus was brought up out of the baptism waters, and God said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. So we saw all these things. And then the week before last week, we talked about how Jesus is not only the creator of all things, but he's the sustainer of all things. That he sustains all things by his powerful word. All right, and that message was called, he holds it all together. How many of you are thankful that the creator of all things can hold your life together?
Yeah.
He can hold your marriage together.
Yes.
Yeah, he can hold your kids together, isn't that right?
Yes.
He can hold those wild thoughts together. Amen, he holds all things together by his powerful word. But today, I wanna focus on verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1. And it really has three parts to it. You know, I'm going to kind of bring these things together because God has a word for us today. Let's read verse 2, if we can bring that out on the screen. Let's read verse 2 out loud one more time. Let's read. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So it says here in verse 2, the first part of it, it says, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Say this with me. Say, Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ is
God's final word,
to man.
Yeah. Jesus Christ is God's final word to man. You know, so anything that I want to know about life, anything that I want to know about how to, you know, handle a certain situation, you know, anything that I need to know about how to treat people and how to speak to people and how to forgive people, you know, how to forgive myself, you know, anything that I need to know about how to navigate my way through a difficult time or a storm, anything that I need to know, whatever question I might have, whatever problem needs to be solved, I find in Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus Christ is God's final word to man. So it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. And so I was thinking, what were the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross? Yeah, in John's gospel, it says the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross were, it is finished. Yes, say that with me. Say, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. You know, and so last year about this time, I was sharing with you, as we were coming into Easter, I was sharing with you maybe about looking at a different perspective of the cross when those words were spoken. I mean, we don't want to take away from the suffering of the cross. You know, we don't want to take away from the agony of what Jesus went through because it was brutal, wasn't it? Everything that Jesus went through so that we can be free and that we can have a relationship with God, that we can have our sins forgiven and have hope of eternity after this life. Man, there was a lot of brutal suffering that Jesus went through in order for us to have that inheritance, to have all the things that we know come to us on earth. And so last year I shared with you that, you know, the whole reason Jesus came in the first place was to die on the cross. You know that? I mean, this is the whole reason he came. His assignment is, I'm going to go down to the earth. I'm going to become a human being, just like all of you. I'm going to feel what you feel. I'm going to think what you think without sinning, right? So he's going to feel rejection. He's going to feel shame at times. He's going to feel forsaken. He's going to feel mocked. He's going to feel the whips, the beatings, the lashings, everything. He said, I'm going to come down and I'm going to die on the cross. And that's my goal. My assignment is to make it to the cross. And so I shared with you last year about this time that maybe if Jesus' hands weren't nailed to the cross, maybe when he said, it is finished, it would have been a victory shout. It's finished! Yeah, come on. Not to let go of the suffering of Christ, but he accomplished what he was sent to do. So maybe he said, it's finished, like an athlete crossing the victory line. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's finished. Yeah, come on, high five a couple people. Say, it's finished. Yeah, it's finished. It's finished. Yeah. So listen, everything that needed to be done to make us right with God was done on the cross. Yeah. Everything that needed to be said to express how deeply God really loves you was said in those three words. It's finished. It's finished. Yeah, so we can celebrate that because a lot of things come with that final act of love on the cross. Amen? You know, every other religion, every cult that is out there, it bases its teaching on what man must do. You know, but true New Testament Christianity, it's based on a belief system, not on what man must do, but on what Jesus has already done. Yeah, do you realize that's true? So as Christians, you know, even coming into worship or starting a day, man, I realize that apart from Jesus Christ, there's absolutely nothing I can do to make myself right with God. Yes. I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. So when I come to God, I come to him with a thankful heart. The Bible says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. You know, so we don't have to come crawling to God because we realize it's finished. You didn't die for nothing. Yeah. How many of you know that the Lord knew you were a screw up? Yeah, he knew that we were going to mess up. That's exactly why he died. Now, it doesn't give us a right to go mess up just so we, you know what I mean? But when we come to the Lord and when I come to the Lord, man, I realize that there is nothing that I can do on my own to make me right with God. So I come with a thankful heart, and I also come with an expectation to receive his blessing of grace and mercy. Yeah, listen, not because of anything I've done, not because of who I am, but because of who he is and what he's done. Yeah, so I can come to this holy God through the finished work of the cross with humility and boldness at the same time. Yeah, so listen, we can come to the Lord humbly, like the last song that the worship team sang today. Man, it got me. Because that's where we need to live. Amen? So everyone say it's finished. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you have the victory. Yeah. Come on, how many of you believe that? Yeah, because everything that God had to say was said at the final days on that cross, the final minutes, the final three words. So listen to me, though. Even though we have the victory, it doesn't mean that we don't have to go through some battles. How many of you had to fight some battles before? All right, but listen to me now, because Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he says, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So listen, if I'm in Christ and I'm having trouble in the world and I know it is finished, then I can declare I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, maybe I'm going through a battle, but the victory's already been won. So listen to me, listen to me. If you can keep your eyes focused on the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ, you'll fight some battles, but you won't fight for victory. You fight from victory, and that's a game changer. Come on, that's a game changer, church. Right? So when you're going through something, when you're fighting a battle, you're not fighting for the victory. I already got the victory. Or I'm sorry, you're not fighting for the victory, you're fighting from the victory. So check this out. Check this out. When you wake up in the morning, start your day from the finish line of victory. Amen. It's a game changer. But how many know it takes faith to do that? We walk by faith and not by sight. We're walking in the reality of the faith that God's final word to us is finished. Yes. You have some battles to fight, but you win. Yes. You win. So when we wake up in the morning and realize that, man, I'm going to start my day from the finish line of victory, it changes everything. Then I'm going to run my race today knowing I've already crossed the finish line of victory. Yeah, so what happens then in the morning, instead of saying, oh, it's going to be a long and hectic week. No, instead of that, we already know, wait a minute, I'm starting from the finish line. Yes. Amen. So listen, turn your neighbor and say, flip the script. Yeah, you start talking different when you know you've already won. Yeah, so now you wake up in the morning, instead of declaring how rough the week's going to be and how your job stinks. And now, I don't know how I'm going to put up with this, and I'm sick and tired. And instead of that, you're saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it today. Because I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through him. I'm in him. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper today. Amen. Listen, you flip the script, things change for you. Come on, are you hearing this? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's finished. Now do it. Say, it's finished.
It's finished.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
It's finished. Yes. You know, sometimes I think it's important that we express ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we'll express ourselves at a ball game or something like that. You know, we'll express ourselves loud. We won't even care what the neighbors think when our team wins.
Yes.
Well, listen, you're on the winning team.
Yes.
Amen. Remember last week we looked at Exodus chapter 19 and 20. Remember this, have a good day at work, sir. So blessed to see this man with his man son now here in church today. And we welcome you, Mariah. So listen, last week we talked about when God spoke to the children of Israel in an audible voice from the top of Mount Sinai. Remember that? An audible voice. And so God told Moses, prepare the people. How many of you are here last week?
Yes.
Yeah, listen, I'm just going to do a quick review on this, okay? Because we're talking about the cross. We're talking about this. So when God wanted to speak to the children of Israel from Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19 and really verse 20, or chapter 20, God told Moses to prepare the people for the third day. And he says, I want you to consecrate them. And he says, I want you to make sure that you draw a boundary around the base of Mount Sinai and warn the people, don't let them cross the boundary. On the third day, I'm going to speak to them, but don't let the people cross the boundary. If they cross the boundary and get too close on the third day, they're going to die. Well, the third day came. And God spoke from the top of Mount Sinai, and you know, the lightning flashed and the thunder boomed and the smoke billowed all over the place, and the mountain shook. And it says that the people were terrified. And after God spoke, the people went back to Moses and said, Moses, will you talk to God for us? And then tell us what he says, and we'll do whatever he says. But don't let him talk to us directly, or we'll surely die. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And so Moses came down from the mountain with the law in his hands. And that day, 3,000 people died. All right, so now fast forward 2,000 years or so. And God says, I want to speak to my people again. But this time, I don't want to speak to them from Mount Sinai. I want to speak to them from another mountain. I want to speak to them from Mount Calvary. And at Calvary's mountain, all the boundaries are going to be removed. At Calvary's mountain, every person on the face of the planet is going to have free passage to come into my presence anytime they want. And at Mount Calvary, it's not going to be the people that are going to die. It's going to be me that's going to die. And when I die, they're going to live. Come on, listen. God's final word. In days past, he spoke through the prophets at many times in many ways. But in these last days, he spoke through his son and the words of his son. It's finished. It's finished. Amen. Amen. So when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the law in his hand, 3,000 people died. When Jesus resurrected from the grave and sent his Holy Spirit down in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people got saved. Yeah, life comes. Amen. Listen, we're part of that. We're part of that. You understand? So look at this now. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Track with me today, okay? Because we're going to go somewhere. Amen. It says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. All right, so an heir is one who inherits something from somebody. All right? He has appointed him heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So Jesus is the inheritor of all things, and he's the creator of all things. So can I show you some more review, more word of God about Jesus being the creator? Amen. All right, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, everyone say he. He was in the beginning with God, so he is a person. The Word is a person, and the person is Jesus. All right, we've learned this. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In other words, nothing was made without Jesus. All right, so he's the inheritor of all things, but he's also the creator of all things. All right, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Look at this. By him, by Jesus, all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Look at this. All things were created through him and for him. All right, so all things were created by Jesus, all things were created through Jesus, and all things were created for Jesus. So listen to me. Jesus created you for himself. Yeah, he wants you all to himself, church. He wants to be with you forever. Man, he wants you walking with him, and he wants to walk with you every moment of every day. Because all things were created by him, all things were created through him, and all things were created for him. Yeah. So Jesus created you on purpose. Look at this. Look at Genesis chapter 1. We're looking at this creation story again. Verse 26 through 28. God said, let us, everyone say us. Let us make man in our, everyone say our. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So this is referring to the Trinity. It's referring to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So listen, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were working in perfect harmony to create you. All right, so listen, here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, what's happening here is that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are welcoming us into their family. Listen, they're creating us to be in their inner circle. Yes. Come on, you got to hear this. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you have an inheritance coming. Yes. Come on, that's where we're going. So look at this. He says, in the rest of verse 26, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, so he's using words still, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Well, we know the story. You know, the serpent came in and deceived Adam and Eve. And they ate from the tree that God told them you can't eat from. And they died that day. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. You know, they died. They were separated from God. Their spirits were separated from the Spirit of God on the day that they sinned. And well, from that day on, Father God has been wanting to make it like it was before they fell. And ultimately, he had to purchase us back from the devil. Yeah, and he had to pay a price. And the price was his son. All right, stick with me. You guys tracking with me? Look at this now in Matthew chapter 13. I want you to look at the parable of the hidden treasure. The parable of the hidden treasure. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus is speaking this, and he's really letting them know he's going to be dying. Chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 is all the night, really, that whole time slot is when he's getting ready to go to the cross. And Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So this parable is about a man who finds a treasure in the field. He sells everything that he can to buy the field in order to obtain the treasure. All right, now we've heard this, and I've heard this taught this way, that the treasure is Jesus and we're the man. And when we find Jesus, we should sell everything and follow him. Another word would say we forsake everyone or everything and follow him. And I think it's right that we forsake all to follow him. But I don't think that this is what this parable is about, even though it's been taught this way. Because listen, let me ask you a question. When you got saved, how many of you had to sell something to receive Jesus? No? Listen, we didn't have to sell anything to receive Jesus. We didn't have to purchase our salvation. Do you understand? All we had to do was open up our heart to Christ. Yeah, we've been saved by grace through faith, not of any works of our own. Salvation is the free gift of God. We didn't have to purchase our salvation. But Jesus, on the other hand, had to give his life to purchase us. All right, look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 says this. You know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And this ransom was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value, verse 19, but it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Verse 20, God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days, everyone say last days. In these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. All right, now back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. In these last days, everyone say last days, God has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. So again, an heir is one who's entitled to inherit something. And usually the one that's inheriting something is it's being given to him or her from a person who already died. How many know Jesus died? Amen. Yeah. How many know Jesus isn't going to die again? He resurrected from the grave. Amen. So listen, the Father has appointed Jesus to inherit all things. And I want to tell you, you are part of that inheritance. Come on, stick with me, okay? So this parable of the hidden treasure, it's not about selling everything to gain Christ. It's about Jesus giving up everything to purchase us. Yes, so listen, in this parable, the field is the world. So Jesus bought the world with his own blood. Kind of listen, did he do this because he wanted the world? Like, I want the earth. I want another planet. No. He bought the world with his own blood because he wanted the treasure that was buried in the world. And that treasure's you. And that treasure's me. Come on. How many have been buried in the world before? Buried by the sins of the world. Buried by the cares of the world. Yeah. Wrapped up in all the world, getting even polluted by the world, where you're so wrapped up and buried in the things of the world that sometimes you feel helpless and hopeless and you feel unworthy. You feel like you can't be redeemed, you can't be helped. And I want to tell you, your Father in heaven and Jesus says, no, you're a hidden treasure. Even though you're buried and you can't move and you're addicted, you're a hidden treasure. And he died for you, that you might be saved, amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, we are his inheritance. Jesus told another parable right after this. It's the parable of the pearl of great price, and it's the same concept. It says, Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So listen, you're the treasure, and you're the pearl of great price. Amen. Jesus gave up everything to purchase us. Yeah, he did. We are his inheritance. Look at Philippians chapter 2. You guys still tracking with me?
Yes.
Philippians chapter 2, look at verses 6 through 8. Though he was God, this is Jesus, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Why would he do this? I mean, why would he leave all of the benefits and the privileges of heaven? Why would he give all of that stuff up and come down to this earth as a mere human being and die as a slave, a criminal's death? Why did he do it? To purchase you. Yeah. You are the treasure in the field. You know, you're the pearl of great price. We are the reason God sent his son, church. We're it. We're the reason Jesus came. Listen, you are his prized creation. Do you understand?
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and say, we're children of God. Okay, look at this. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Say, I'm a child of God, like this. I'm a child of God. Yeah. Yeah. Now check this out, all right? We're getting there. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now watch verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So an heir is one who's entitled to inherit something. Come on, are you hearing this? This is what God is trying to say to you this morning. You have an inheritance that belongs to you as a child of God. Listen, my assignment this morning is to show you what was paid for, but also to make you aware that you have an inheritance. Because if you don't know you have an inheritance, you won't cash in on it.
Yes.
Come on, church. You have an inheritance. You've been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ, and you have an inheritance. And the Lord wants to make you aware that you have an inheritance. Can you imagine if your loved ones died and they left you $1 million and you didn't know? And you're begging on the street, working hand over fist every day, trying to make ends meet, and the whole time there's an inheritance waiting for you, but you're not tapping into it because you didn't know. Listen, I'm telling you, you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, all right? Look at this. So you got it, right? He's the creator of all things. He's the inheritor of all things, right? Look at this. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Look at this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. You've been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. That's where your inheritance comes from. And look at this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Listen, that's what he wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure to do that. Even when you were all jacked up. Yeah, he chose in advance to adopt you. Yeah, but that was before I messed up. No, he knew. He already knew. He already knew that you were going to mess up. He already knew. It says that he adopted you in advance into his family. This is what he wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure. Do you realize that you give God great pleasure?
Yes.
Oh, you give him great pleasure. He wanted to bring you into his family. As messed up as you are, or as messed up as you were. Yeah, when you were buried in the world, he saw treasure. Come on, if there's hope for you, there's hope for your neighbor.
Yes.
There's hope for the guy that's strung out on drugs.
Yes.
Yeah, because somewhere in all of this, God sees a treasure. And listen, our ministry assignment at LWC is to unlock people's potential. Come on, we don't cast people aside because they look different or smell weird or smoking stuff. Now, we're not going to enable that behavior, but I'm telling you, some people are burying themselves in things because they don't know how to numb the pain any other way. And we can't reject them. We need to recognize that, man, Jesus died to uncover that hidden treasure in a person's life. Come on, are you hearing this? This is our purpose. So if God takes pleasure in you, we take pleasure in others, wherever they're at, right? Yeah. It says, he decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. It gave him great pleasure. God wants us to be part of his family. I mean, I don't know if you can wrap your mind around the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit saying, JR, I want you to be part of our inner circle. I mean, I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that. That the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are inviting us into their family to be part of their inner circle. Yeah, look at this. Verse 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. This is the natural response when you get the revelation that God wants us to be part of his family, and he had to purchase us with his son's own blood. When we recognize that grace, our natural response is to praise him. Now, like, yeah. I was thinking I need to be preaching at a Pentecostal church. Come on, it's our natural response. Come on, that's why this morning, man, I'm weeping up here. Oh, I'm just leaking, saying, oh, Lord, me, you know, you, just recognizing everything that they did to make it so I can approach him. I can approach my Heavenly Father, and I can bring people with me. Yeah, my only response is praising him for his grace. His grace. Listen, can I tell you something? We are chosen in this hour to showcase God's grace. Come on, you got to hear this, because let me tell you, when you recognize that, then you don't have to pretend. Listen, I'm going to showcase God's grace the best when you know how jacked up I am, and he still accepts me. Yes, so listen, we don't walk around as haughty, self-righteous Christians. Listen, I want to tell you, we are no better than the world. We're no better. We just got a revelation of this wonderful grace of God. And we understand that everything he and his son went through to adopt me into his inner circle and love me and help me get through stuff. Jesus Christ is God's final word to man. Anything I need to know about life, anything I need to get through, I find in Jesus. Yeah, that's why we're here, church. That's why we're here, to showcase God's grace. And so you showcase God's grace, you know. I just tell you when I mess up. You know, because listen, there's three stories you can tell. You can tell the story of when Jesus first saved you, all right? Then you can tell the story of how God protected you, right? When maybe you were heading for an accident and something happened. And, oh, I should have been dead, but I'm not. You know, whatever. But listen, then you share the story about how you screwed up and God forgave you. Are you hearing this? So we are a real church. And when my wife and I planted this church some 20, 30 years ago or whatever, man, what the Lord gave us this acronym, REAL, because my idea is that I don't want anybody to have to wear a mask in front of me. To try to pretend to be somebody they're not. Or be somewhere they are, because it's fake. And the revelation of that is because in 1 Corinthians, when the Apostle Paul's talking about the greatest of these is love. Yeah, he said that though I speak with the tongue of men of angels and have not love, I'm just a clanging cymbal. So listen, if you feel that you have to try to be somebody you're not to impress me and be accepted by me, you're only going to get loved mask deep. Do you understand? So let me tell you, Christians are great at this. They walk in like, how's it going? Ah, great. Praise the Lord. But just below the surface. They're like, they got a storm brewing. So listen, we want to create a safe place. Not only in my personal life, but we need a safe place here at LWC where people can take off their mask and get love deep. Not just face deep. And listen, I'm not telling you that you need to open up all of your dirty laundry and let everybody in. Don't do it, because some people next to you can't be trusted yet.
Amen. Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you now. You can't always trust people with your junk. But we're creating an atmosphere. We want you to be safe people. We want to have a safe place where you can mess up and not be rejected. Yeah? It takes all of us, though. And listen, how do we get there? By realizing what the price was paid for me to get there. Because I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve it. You know what I deserve? Hell. And I don't say that like, you know, like I'm a victim, because I'm not a victim. It's finished. Yes. I'm not a victim. Yes. But listen, just because we walk in victory doesn't mean we don't realize the price that was paid to get us there. And when we forget the price that was paid to get us there, we treat people like garbage, like you should be where I'm at today. If you were more like me, oh, that's a stench in the Christian church. And it was a stench in Jesus' day, self-righteousness. Amen. You know, it was the self-righteous Pharisees that Jesus said, you hypocrite, you brood of vipers, you know. I'm going, whoa. I was telling Pastor Jim last week after we talked about Moses and God speaking audibly, you know, to the children of God. And the Old Testament was like, oh, man, if we get too close, we're going to die. And I remember hearing a message from one of the teachers I really admire. And he was talking about the difference between the Old Testament of the law and the New Testament of grace. And he said, it's almost like God got saved in the New Testament. In reality, and we'll talk about this next week, the law was to be our tutor, because there's no way we can keep it. And the law was the tutor to lead us to the realization, I need a Savior. How many know Jesus fulfilled that law? Yeah. Yeah, he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. So we're going to look at that. Let me go. I got to get on here. You guys tracking?
Yes.
Verse 7, talking about God. Look at. He is so rich in kindness and grace. Come on, do you see God like that? Or do you see him as somebody who's just waiting for you to mess up one more time? No, listen, if you have a view of your Father God like that, that he's just like, yeah, one more time and that's it. Listen, that is the wrong view. Look at, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Listen, he purchased our freedom. Come on, say that with me. He purchased our freedom. Well, this caught me this week. He purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son. And this caught me this week because when I read that, I remembered, I don't remember right where it was at, but I remember that Jesus said this, if you have committed sins, you're a slave to sin. Everyone say slave.
Slave.
If you've committed sins, you're committed a sin, you're a slave to sin. All right? Well, God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom through the blood of Jesus. So this is the picture I got, that Jesus comes onto the scene and he buys us, he redeems us from the slave market of sin. Yeah. He says, you're coming with me. You're no longer a slave. No, you have an inheritance. You are now a child. You are an heir to the throne. You're a child of God. Amen. Look at this, verse 8. He showered us his kind, or he showered his kindness on us. Come on, can you see Father God like this? Listen, if you ever think that your Father in heaven is out to get you, you got to switch that thing around, because he's not out to get you. He's out to bless you. No matter how buried you are in the things of the world, he sees you as a treasure and a priceless pearl, a pearl of great price. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Listen, what's happening today as we unfold the word is you're getting wisdom and understanding of the price that was paid for you with this thought in mind: I want to give you an inheritance. Hallelujah. Yet when you receive what was done for you and you enter into the reality of this relationship in the inner circle of the Father in heaven, you have an inheritance. And if we know what that inheritance is, oh, we're going to start pulling down some blessings. Yes. Yes. Yeah, come on, you got to stick with me on this. Yes. How many want more than what you got? Amen. In Christ? Amen. Not talking about bigger houses or faster cars. Or loose women. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about the peace and the joy and the hope that comes as having an inheritance. Talking about the reality that God can do a miracle right now. That you can roll up on an impossible situation and tap into this inheritance, that there's healing here. Yeah, come on. Says that God showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Verse 9, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. Then it tells us what that good plan is in verse 10. This plan is at the right time, he'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. So at just the right time, everything in heaven and everything on earth, it's going to be gathered together in Christ, around Christ, and for Christ. All right, so all things are created by him, all things are created through him, and all things are created for him. And Ephesians, Paul is telling us that at the right time, everything that he created is going to come underneath his authority. Yes. Amen? Yes. Listen, how many know we can come underneath that authority now? Amen. Now look at verse 11. Look at verse 11, we're almost done. Look at this. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, look at this. We have received. Everyone say received.
Received.
Listen, that's past tense. It's already. Because we're united with Christ, listen, we have received an inheritance from God. Yeah, we've received it. Listen, I want to ask you, have you cashed in on it? I didn't know I had it. Well, that's what today's about. Come on, how are you glad you came to church today? Yeah. And listen, we need the word of God to build our faith, to recognize that there was a lot of stuff that got paid for in order for me to have this inheritance that has already been given.
Yes. Glory.
For he chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan. Now look, I want you to show you verse 11, Ephesians 1, verse 11, in the New King James Version, because this is important. It says, in him. Everyone say, in him.
In him.
Listen, in him also we have obtained. It's already there. It's already been paid for. It's already been given. In him, everyone say, in him,
in him,
we have obtained an inheritance. All right, now look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this. Look at this. All the promises of God in him. Everyone say, in him.
Amen.
All the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God in him are yes. And in him are amen to the glory of God through us. So listen, there are over 3,000 promises given to us in the scripture. Listen, promises that deal with healing, health, happiness, peace, prosperity, provision, protection, family, freedom, finances, security. And listen, all of these promises are part of your inheritance.
Yes.
Come on, are you hearing this?
Yes.
Yeah. They're all part of your inheritance that you have already obtained as adopted children of God. And I'm telling you, the Lord is saying today is the day we start cashing in. Yeah, we don't have to live below our potential. And listen, listen, church, this is not greed. This is not greed. It's so that we can tap into the reality that God wants his power of the kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven through you. Because you can obtain inheritance for your children. Yeah. You can bring in part of that inheritance for your neighbor. Say, I got some things I want to share. I have an inheritance I want to share with you. Yeah. Might be your neighbor has a love deficit. Maybe they're at the end of their rope. You know, they don't want to go on. They don't see any hope on this side of heaven. And they're thinking, I got to end it. Man, I have an inheritance to share with you. Yeah, the greatest inheritance is our eternal life in Christ, right? Yeah. Now, listen, you have an inheritance. There's things that God wants to do. Listen, next week, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1:20 a little bit closer. All right, we're going to look at that a little bit closer. All right, but listen to this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at two more verses. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Doing pretty good on time. You guys seeing the big picture?
Yes.
Is it helping you?
Yes.
Yeah, because listen, my desire here isn't for you to just come here. I don't want to give you knowledge. Do you understand? Listen, I want to give you faith so you can go out and do some stuff. Amen. So I don't just need you to come and listen to me. I'm glad you do. You know, I think that God is speaking to us through his word. Amen. And I prepare. You know, I take time to build these things so it's really clear for you so that you're not standing on my words, but you're standing on his word.
Yeah.
And you see that it's his word that I'm basing my decisions on. Amen.
Yeah.
So look at this. Verses 13 and 14, Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this. And now you Gentiles, so now he's talking to us. You Gentiles have heard the truth. Listen, you heard the truth today. It says you heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. So listen, let me tell you what you heard today. You heard the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
In detail. Yeah? With a history of how it all happened. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that God saves you. It says, and when you believed in Christ, look at this, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. Look at verse 14. Look at this now. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. And that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. So listen, when God promised that he would never leave us or forsake us, you know, and when Jesus promised, you know, when he said this, he said, listen, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Yeah, that's great. That music's great. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He goes, but I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. So that where I am, there you may be also. And since I'm going to prepare a place for you, he goes, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to bring you to myself so that we can be together forever. You know that the church is recognized as the bride of Christ? And do you recognize that we are promised a great wedding day? Well, listen, what we're reading here in Ephesians is that Jesus didn't give us an engagement ring. He gave us the promise of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, as a guarantee that we're going to be together forever. And whatever you got to walk through in this world, when you get buried in the things of the world, you get buried in the sins of the world sometimes, you get caught up in some bad habits or bad attitudes. Lord says, I gave the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that I'll fulfill my promise, because regardless of how dirty the world makes you look, you're still a treasure to me. Yeah, come on. Oh, and he says that he did this so we would praise and glorify him. Come on, can we just stand to our feet and just begin to praise and glorify the Lord with your own voice this morning? Come on, just begin to praise him all over the house here. You don't need me to lead you to do that. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let your voice be heard. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, that you went the distance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for not acknowledging all that you've done. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, will you say this with me? Say, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your son. We want to thank you for your grace. Thank you for the plan that you made beforehand. That, Lord, you saw me and you believed in me. And I thank you, Father, that when I chose to believe in your son, you adopted me into your family. Oh, and I can't be ripped out of it. You got a tight grip on me. I thank you, Lord, that you love me. I thank you that your son, Jesus Christ, spilled his own blood that I might be free, that I might be forgiven. That, Lord, I can come back to you time and time again and confess my sins before you, knowing that the blood of your son cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I choose you today, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I choose you, and I declare in Jesus' name, it is finished. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.